Good morning. Welcome to New Life this morning. My name is Gina, and this is...
My name is Greg.
Greg, how long have we known each other?
Gina, you and I met at a very interesting time. Get emotional just thinking about it. 15 years ago, I made an appointment at the counseling center, and you were my counselor, and we have been friends ever since, and so thankful for that. Go ahead.
There you go. I'm not allowed to ever share that information, but Greg can say whatever he wants to say. But yeah, we connected here at New Life, and yes, through the counseling center, but you know, here at New Life, we do want everyone to connect. And so if you're here this morning, if you're online, we not only want to welcome you, but we also want to just encourage you to meet someone new. If you're new here, we have something called connection counters. There's one on each end of the lobby. There's one out on the patio where the food is at. We just encourage you to come by, say hi, share who you are. And then we also encourage you, if you've been here for a while, like look around your section, where you're at, sitting. If you see someone new, introduce yourself, because we're trying to include everybody and acknowledge that we're all here to worship God, learn more about him, and we're brothers and sisters.
Today, we don't just have a pool here on every Sunday. Today's Celebration Sunday. Super important to me and my family as well. Over the last two Celebration Sundays, our daughter and our son-in-law has been baptized the last two Celebration Sundays. And I was remembering my baptism, and it was 1986 when I was baptized. If you would stand this morning and tell the person next to you what year you were baptized. Happy Sunday.
what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. And fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot.
A full day of dedications and baptisms and just celebrating all that God has done. So would you just welcome our family as they come to the platform this morning. Dedication is an amazing time. It reminds us that we have the responsibility, both as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and congregation, to be able to raise up the next generation to know and to love God. We find in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 a reminder that this is not just something that happens on Sunday, and it's not just something that happens in student ministry. It is something that happens all the time. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're reminded that the people of Israel were taught to bind the law of God on their wrists and place it on their foreheads and put it on the doorposts of their house so that they would be constantly reminded that God was their God and they were his people. So we have that opportunity as we dedicate children to remind them of what we have and how we have that responsibility today. So as there's a couple things that is important for us as we think about dedication. One is to remind ourselves that it's first and foremost about the commitment of the parents. And so it's a reminder that we have a responsibility to raise our kids and to know and love God. It's about activating faith in our kids. And it's about reminding us that we're a part of a family to help and assist us in raising those kids. So this is Devin and Everett, and we are excited to be able to dedicate them together today. Yes! Let's clap for that.
Yeah. This one is Devin. Can you say hi? Just wave. I'll wave with you. It's all right. I'm a snuggle Devin, and this is Everett right here. And they got brought some family, friends right over here. The boys, you're all here supporting. You guys can all stand. You want to stand up? You make that first.
Nah, don't embarrass us. So, are you willing and ready, with God's help, to raise your boys to know and to love God? If so, say, I will with God's help. Amen. And church family, are you willing to come alongside and to help raise Devin and Everett to know and to love God? If so, say, I will with God's help. That's awesome. All right. So Devin, we dedicate you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everett, we dedicate you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes. And so, God, we pray for these two young boys, God. I pray that they would come to know you at an early age. That, God, they would receive your gift of salvation in their life. That they would be filled with your Spirit. And that, God, the gifts and graces and plans and purposes that you have for these young boys, they would discover them as they grow into men. God, may your hand and blessing and favor rest upon them. May they grow in wisdom and in stature and in knowledge of who you are and who you have created them to be. And we ask all these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Can we celebrate as they leave the platform?
Yeah, and mom is getting baptized today, so it's a big day for the family.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Stand with us as we continue to worship.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How can I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs like I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I
I'm not.
Show up for people, our little interactions with others throughout the day, the way we spend time with our families, let every single thing that we do be an example of gratitude. Show your love and speak the gospel, God. We want to be more like you. Just stir within us that desire to seek a deeper relationship with you, to be shaped into Christ-like character, God. It is your image and your image alone that we want to portray to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat this morning. It's always a joy and a privilege to be able to gather together and worship on Sunday mornings together. So we're going to continue in that time today by having our ushers come forward to receive the offering. If you're new, please don't feel any pressure to give, but this is a way that we get to worship with what we have and what we have been given and know that it's not really ours. So this just continues that act of worship. Also, if you're new, we want you to come a few times because, like Greg said, we do not always have a pool in the service. So I want you to come a few times, get to know us, what we believe at New Life, who we are, how we live that out. We want you to get to know someone so you can hang out with us after the service, have some coffee, ask any questions that you have. And we want you to be in prayer asking God what he is doing at New Life on the Central Coast and what he's doing in your life and how you can be a part of that. So we would love to talk to you and just welcome and thanks for being here this morning. So we have a few things that are going to be coming up that we just want you to have your eye on. One is this Wednesday we'll gather together for our Ash Wednesday service, which begins our season of Lent together. So there was a card that hopefully you were given or you will be able to get before you leave today in addition to the bulletin. It has a really beautiful description of what the Lent season is all about and how we can each participate in that by kind of just re-examining your life, seeing if there's something that you need to remove or take away that's weighing you down. And then maybe there's something that you need to add in, a practice that will help realign your heart to the heart of God. So look at this and join us on Wednesday as we talk about those practices some more. Also, some of you might be in a place where things are just hard. It's one of the things that I've heard Pastor David say, especially when he was first here, was he would say, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. So if that's the season that you're in, we want to be able to come alongside you. We want you to be able to find a community that can walk with you through that. And so we have support groups here at New Life for many different seasons of life. Divorce care just started, but you are still able to join that if that is what would be the support that you need at this time. We also have Grief Share, which is starting very soon. If you've lost someone, Grief Share is just a wonderful group of people that's able to share in that with you, to bear that with you. So please reach out if you want to hear about any of our other support groups and if we can walk alongside you and help you know that it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. We also have, at the end of this month, has anyone ever heard of Brush Arbor in here?
Yes? Okay, they are a Christian country and bluegrass band who has come to New Life a few times over a lot of years, and they are going to be coming back at the end of this month and having a concert just for us. So it's $10. It'll be in our Life Center, our renewed venue. So we welcome you to join us in that. If you would like to buy tickets, just check out one of the connection counters, and we can help you do that after service. So Pastor David is going to be bringing our message this morning, and spoiler alert, we are not in the Gospel of Mark today.
These celebration Sundays always get me because I'm always going down there. Because if I don't, I sing really loud when I worship. And I'm always afraid that our team up here will have me in their ears, and it won't be on key. It'll be a sound of worship. It just won't be a beautiful sound of worship. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them to the book of Galatians. Galatians is in the New Testament, or the second half of the Bible. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to begin here in a little bit in verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. So, when we have a celebration Sunday, often I just continue on in the book of Mark or whatever text we are in or whatever series we are in, but I just felt prompted that on this particular celebration Sunday, I wanted to focus in on what baptism is. As we have new people coming into the life of New Life all the time, I wanted just to give us a reminder of what baptism is. And so the reason, again, for departing from Mark is to talk about the significance of baptism, and I wanted to frame a couple of things. First of all, if you are a follower of Jesus who has never been baptized, my prayer, whether it's a choice that you would make for today or in the coming days, that you would choose to move in that direction. Just going to be real with you. My heart for you, if you are a follower of Jesus and have never been baptized, is that you would move in that direction and be baptized. And we'll talk about why that is a burden that I carry. The second thing that, you know, for someone here who has been baptized, is that today I want you to have the spiritual practice of remembrance. And the spiritual practice of remembrance is important. We see throughout the Old Testament where God calls his people to remember his mighty acts and to remember how God has moved in the past. And so there's something significant about gathering in spaces like this. And when you walked in and you saw the baptismal waters set up this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit began to stir within you a remembrance of your baptism, a remembrance of your salvation, a remembrance of when God took you from death to life. And then third, if you're just curious about Jesus, if you're just trying to figure out if you want to follow Jesus at all, I pray that this morning that you would simply be open. That you would be open to the movement of God in your life, that you would be open to allowing the Holy Spirit to begin to stir within you a calling, a desire, a movement towards a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. And so again, if you have your Bibles open to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, we read these words. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would allow your words through the power of your Spirit to take root in our lives. God, I pray that for those of us that maybe have followed you for a long time, would you just awaken something in us afresh and anew that reminds us of our baptism and your authority in our life? If there's someone here that's just trying to figure out if they believe in you and this whole Jesus thing, would you begin to stir within them, and would they just simply be open to your movement this morning? And God, we pray that when we walk out of this space, that God, we would have been transformed, that we would have been changed, that we would see things differently because we've spent time in your presence and spent time in your word. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. In these three verses, Paul declares a profound theology concerning baptism. And it really boils down to this idea of identity and community. And you might, if you have your Bibles open or you're taking notes, you might want to underline or write this particular phrase down. So in Christ Jesus, or in verse 29, if you belong to Christ. Two ways of phrasing what Paul is trying to communicate, that those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ are in Jesus and you belong to Jesus. If you back up in the text earlier in the chapter, you begin to realize that what Paul is kind of creating some dissonance about is that you have individuals that believe that the way that they have relationship with God is through the law, and as individuals who are part of Abraham's lineage. And so Paul is very much saying that the law is no longer the pathway, no longer the way that you identify yourself. You're no longer in God through the law. You are in God when you belong to Jesus. You're in God when you are in Christ Jesus. It's a distinction. Now some say, well, does that mean the law was completely bad? No, Paul actually says that the law, and he uses in some translations, he uses the language that they were prisoners of the law. In other translations, and I think this is more, even more so what is the original Greek had in mind, that the law was your babysitter. That's essentially what the text is saying. The law is your babysitter, and now that people have grown up, that God has given us Jesus, and all of a sudden our faith isn't in the law, and the law isn't hoarding over us, but it is through Christ Jesus and through him alone that we begin to live out our lives as citizens of God's new creation. But there's some things that happen when we say that we're in Jesus. There's some things that happen when we say we belong to Jesus. All other allegiances become secondary. Every other allegiance that we have begins to become secondary to the authority and allegiance that we have to Jesus Christ. Jesus becomes our primary. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? Like, I kind of get that. Like, you know, he needs to be my primary, and like, you know, this culture's not. No, I mean, like, Jesus is your primary over everything else, because when Jesus is your primary, everything else flows from the authority that Jesus has in your life. Everything else flows from the fact that you are now in Christ. So even when it comes to my relationship with Dana, my allegiance to Jesus is above my relationship to Dana. You're like, what? Yes. My allegiance to Jesus is above my family. My allegiance to Jesus is above my desire to root for my beloved Ohio State Buckeyes. It is above all those things. My allegiance to Jesus is primary, and because I am in Christ, now I see my relationship as a husband to my wife through the lens of Jesus being my primary allegiance. I see my relationship with my kids. I see my relationship with my parents. I see my relationship with this church. I see my relationship with everything else as being seen through my relationship with Jesus. I mean, we understand allegiances, right? I mean, some of you understand that you have a place in town that you have an allegiance to, and you eat there all the time. This was huge controversy when I was down at Maxwell Air Force Base. There was huge, I didn't think it was a controversy because I have allegiance, but there was controversy. There were people from the South that would say, Whataburger was better than In-N-Out. and I tried to cast the devil out of them. But they had an they couldn't see because they had an allegiance to Whataburger. And I was carrying the gospel of In-N-Out. We have allegiances. But when you are in Christ, when somebody gets down into these baptismal waters, those allegiances dissolve, and your primary allegiance is to Jesus and to Him alone, and everything else is seen through that allegiance of Jesus. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is under the authority of Jesus in your life. The second thing I want you to notice in that language is that not only do those allegiance, does Jesus become our primary allegiance, but you belong to Jesus. And this is an extremely important declaration, because there are going to be things in this world that make you feel like you don't belong to Jesus. And part of what baptism does is it points back to a time or a date or a moment or an experience where you can point to that and say, in that moment, I'm reminded that I belong to Jesus, because there's going to be something that happens on Monday and something that happens on Tuesday and something that's going to happen in the month of May and something that's going to happen in 2027 and beyond that is gonna cause you to question whether or not you belong to Jesus. And so when sickness or a diagnosis comes your way, as difficult as that is to walk that journey, in the midst of frustrating prognosis and treatment and all of that, guess what I get to declare? I belong to Jesus. Which means that death does not have the period at the end of my story. I belong to Jesus, which means that this world of sin and suffering does not get the victory, even if this mortal body fails, because He's got a new one for me, thanks be to God. Yeah. You belong to Jesus. When you've been abandoned and your spouse walks out on you, guess what? You belong to Jesus. He sees you. When you're wrestling with that relationship with your friend, when you're wrestling with that relationship with your child, and they say hateful and hurtful things that pierce your soul, you have to be reminded that you belong to Jesus. That is what Paul is reminding the Gentiles in this particular portion. When you've been betrayed, when someone stabbed you in the back, when it feels like you're all alone, you belong to Jesus. You also belong to Jesus when you're walking that line and temptation's coming hard and fast and heavy into your life. And it's just one step into a world of sin. And you're reminded, I am no longer a slave to my sinful flesh. I belong to Jesus. When you need correction, you belong to Jesus. And when you need restored, you belong to Jesus. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. You, me, we are all children of God. I don't think we understand how radically scandalous this statement was by Paul. Not because it's just like, hey, you know, how can someone be a child of God? But the reality was is that only Jews who were in the lineage or ancestry of Abraham were children of God. And a Gentile, apart from becoming or converting to Judaism, could never be a child of God. And Paul is declaring that they don't have to obey the law, in order to come to God. That they can have faith in Christ Jesus, and that makes them children of God. And this was a radical and scandalous proclamation. It was not by their blood lineage. It was not by the law, but it was through faith in Jesus. The faithfulness of Christ calls for a human response of faith in the sufficiency of Christ for salvation. So Jesus was faithful, and when we place our faith in him, Jesus, his life, teaching, death, and resurrection, the gospel of Jesus is sufficient for my salvation. I don't have to run to some other savior. I don't have to try to figure out some other salvation. It is through Christ Jesus and Jesus alone that I am saved. Nothing else can save you. It's a radical proclamation. When you go down into the baptismal waters, you are declaring that wealth can't save me. Success can't save me. The perfect relationship or marriage can't save me. The perfect kids can't save me. The perfect job can't save me. Nothing can save me apart from faith in Jesus Christ. It's a radical proclamation. And it's demonstrated that I have no savior but Jesus by being baptized. Baptized into Christ. The word we say as baptism or baptized comes from the Greek baptizo. It's not a religious term. We use it as a religious term today, but it was actually a very common everyday term. When I go to a restaurant and I get French fries, I ask for like 6 ramekins of ketchup. I don't like taking a bite of a French fry unless it's dunked in ketchup. I need ketchup, right? And so that's how this would have been utilized. They would have said, are the dishes clean? Yes, they're clean. I baptized them. Was the fries good? Yes, they were good. I baptized those in ketchup. Like, it was a common term throughout the day. And Paul commandeers that term and religiously begins to give it new and fresh meaning. That there's not, when we are baptized into Christ, there is not an area in our life that is not impacted by Christ. There is not a space in our life that we say, hey, Jesus, this is reserved for me. Or I don't belong to you in this particular area. When we are baptized in Jesus, we are buried with Christ as we go down into the water, and we are raised to new life as we come out of that water. And what is true about Jesus, that he died on the cross but was raised by the power of God in the resurrection, that same trueness or that same proclamation is true of us now. We were buried in our sin. We were buried in our brokenness. We were buried in our suffering. We were buried in death and sin. But thanks be to Christ Jesus, he raised me back to life, and I have new life in him. That is what we are declaring. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says this: we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. That's who we are, people of new life. People of the resurrection, people of new creation. And throughout Scripture, there's an immediacy to being baptized. It's not, as much as we say it's my decision for public declaration, it's really not, there's no really decision to be made. When you're saved, you get baptized. That's the way it is. Now, pause here for a moment. Baptism doesn't equal salvation. So that's important to recognize. It's not that I need to be baptized in order to be saved. Rather, it's I have been saved, so why wouldn't I get baptized? And that's an important distinction to make. And I want to recognize that there are people here who have been following Jesus for many years, and maybe you were told, hey, you need to, I just don't know enough to get baptized. Well, guess what? Then you're placing way more emphasis on your ability to have knowledge than Christ's ability to save you. The timing isn't right. The nostalgia isn't right. The Jordan River was dirty and nasty. There's an immediacy in Scripture to declare that something has ended in my life. Sin and death have been conquered in my life. And there's an immediacy to declaring that something new is beginning. You may have known who I've been up to this point, but you haven't met the new in Jesus, David. There's a declaration that something new has happened in my life. And you might be going, but I just need to know more. I want to make sure my life's cleaned up more. No, that's what baptism reminds us of. That the sin and muck of our life is taken care of not by human effort, but by the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it's declaring. And so we have individuals who maybe have been waiting around and saying, hey, no, I'm not ready yet. Baptism is not, and this used to happen in the life of the church. You know, you would take a class, and then, you know, maybe 8-week class to teach you about baptism. And I get it. There's some relevance to this, right? And then all of a sudden, you're baptized, and then you're like, oh, I'm done as a disciple. Like, baptism was considered the end of discipleship. But when you read throughout scriptures, baptism is the beginning of your discipleship. And then you get to live into this new reality, and it's messy and it's difficult and it's challenging, and you're not going to get it all right, but you begin to live into this new reality as a son or a daughter of the Most High God. You begin to live into this reality that you are a new creation, and you're not going to get it right all the time, but every day you wake up and every week you get the opportunity to try to figure out, what does it look like to live as somebody who is a part of God's new creation? What does it look like to live as somebody who is a child of the Most High God? What does it look like to live as somebody who once was dead but now is alive? You make this radical proclamation, and then you begin to live into the reality that that declares. In fact, it's very similar to the fact when Dana and I stood before God and friends and said, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, we were 20 years old. We had no clue what we were getting into. But over the last 26 years, we've spent every day living into the reality of those vows. And some days we get it right. And some days it's filled with forgiveness and restoration. But we live into that reality. And in those moments where you're like, hey, this is really hard. This is really difficult. Is it worth it? We point back January 8th, 2000, and say, yeah, on that day we declared that this is the reality that we want to give our lives to. And there will be people here today who, when they get into those baptismal waters, they will point back to this day and say, that was the day that I declared I want to live into the reality of Jesus as Lord of my life. I want to live into the reality of his kingdom coming and his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to live into the reality that I am a child of the Most High God. I want to live into the reality that my sins have been forgiven. I want to live into the reality that I am a new creation. He says, put on the clothes of Christ. Put on Christ as like clothes, right? The gospel of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. You are a citizen of a new kingdom. Now, there's this interesting portion of the text where it says, There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. And it has people scratch their heads sometimes. What the scripture is not saying is that somehow all of a sudden gender doesn't matter. God created us in his image, male and female. It's not saying that we're all plain even culturally. In fact, if you go to the book of Revelation, what makes the gospel so amazing is that all nations and all tongues and all cultures gather around the throne. In fact, Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10 says this: "After this I looked, and there was before me a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And so what's being declared in this particular text is that there is a denial of three widely held concerning beliefs about status and worth in first century culture. So there's a denial of three widely held across first century culture beliefs about status, about worth, and about value. And the belief was in first century that your worth or your status or value came from your ethnicity. Your worth, your status, or value came from your socioeconomic status. And your worth and your value and your status came from whether or not you were male and female. And so you were not valuable in a Jewish culture if you were female. And you were not worth much, if anything, if you were a Gentile. And you had no status if you were a slave. And Paul comes along and declares, in Christ Jesus, we are all children of God. And so maybe you have spent most of your life trying to raise your status socioeconomically, or raise your status or your value or your worth in the eyes of somebody. And you just need to be reminded today that when God sees you as one who is in Christ Jesus, you have value, you have worth, you have status as one who is a child of God. And then last but not least in the text, we see that we are one in Christ, so we have a new family. You belong to a family. And in a culture where loneliness is an epidemic, in a culture where we have a lot of families, then when we hear that word, rather than hearing oneness and value and worth, we hear hurt and betrayal and brokenness. In a culture that somehow has had this idea that to be in Christ Jesus means it's just me and Jesus and everybody else. I don't need the church, and I don't need the family of God, and I don't need the body of Christ. Paul reminds us once again that those who are in Christ Jesus are part of a family. And that family has responsibility. And as people go down into the water today, again, they are being raised up out of that water, and they are declaring, I am a new creation. And there is discipleship that is required for them, a calling for them to live into that reality of being a new creation. And if you are somebody who has been following Jesus for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and you have been studying the scriptures and you've been living into this new reality, when you see them come out of that water, it should remind you of your calling to be a disciple maker. Someone who comes alongside the next generation. Someone who comes alongside your friends. Someone who comes alongside your family members. And you study the scriptures together and you encourage one another and you spur each other on in faith. baptism might be the beginning of somebody living into the reality of their relationship with Christ Jesus. But for many of us who have been baptized years ago and have been following Jesus, baptism should be a reminder of our calling again to be a disciple maker, to not sit on the sidelines, to not just be about me and Jesus, but to find somebody who you are studying the scriptures with, to find somebody who you are encouraging, to find somebody that you are praying for as they continue in their relationship with Christ Jesus. And so the worship team is going to come on the platform, and we're going to begin to move in at this portion into our time of baptism. And so if those who have already said, hey, I want to be baptized today, if you could get up from your seat at this time and begin making your way over to my right and your left. But I want everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes at this time, because again, as I said at the beginning, there may be somebody who for whatever reason has never taken that next step towards baptism, and you're thinking in your head, I'm feeling a stirring in my heart, I'm feeling a stirring in my soul, but I'm not dressed for it today. It's okay, we've got you covered. We have t-shirts and we have shorts and we have towels, and if you feel that today is the day for your baptism, we want to help facilitate that for you. And so we would just invite you, as we start to enter into a time of worship and declaration, that you would just make your way over to where Carrie is over here and just say, hey, I have received, this is all you have to know. Have you received God's gift of forgiveness through Christ Jesus? Have you received Christ's gift of forgiveness through Christ Jesus? Do you declare him Lord of your life, and do you plan to follow him all the days of your life? Then be baptized. Don't wait. Have an immediacy. Declare who Jesus is. So Heavenly Father, as we enter into a time of worship, I pray that we would just have a spirit of obedience. And if today's the day, awesome. And if it's next week, or if it's next month, or 3 months from now, God, I pray that you would just continue to stir in that person's heart a calling to be baptized. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to share. This is a time where we're not just having people get right into the tub, but we want you to know their name. We want you to be a little connected with the people who are choosing this today, because now we are a family of God. And so we want to hear a little bit of their stories that they've prepared. And I know it's not always easy, but everyone can come on up. And then do you want to read yours? What's your name?
Melanie. I did have something earlier to share before this, but I wanted to share something on Wednesday that was really kind of deep in my memory. When Joanna talked to me, she said that this may be kind of the hardest week that you come across, that you might get some challenges. So I wanted to share that challenge with everyone and kind of talk about how I got a little bit closer with my faith this week. So hopefully I keep it together. Thank you. I want to share something personal that happened to me this past week. On Wednesday, I had one of those mornings where anxiety felt like it was swallowing me. I woke up already feeling behind, already feeling like I was failing as a mom, failing my family, failing the people who I love, who are going through hard times right now. Sorry. I have family and friends that are in the hospital, and I keep telling myself I wasn't there enough. I convinced myself that if I were stronger, more organized, more capable, I could somehow fix everything. On my drive to work, the weight of it all just hit me. I started crying, and I felt lost. I felt like I was fighting in the dark. And in that moment, I let my fears speak louder than truth. I told myself I was the reason I couldn't pull myself out of the hole I felt stuck in. And then a song came on the radio. It was called Rescue. And the lyrics said, "You are not hopeless, though you have been broken. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true. I will rescue you." I had to listen to it twice because in that moment, I didn't feel like it was just a song. I felt like it was God reminding me that even when I'm overwhelmed, even when I feel like I'm failing, even when I'm whispering prayers I can barely form, He hears me. He hears our SOS. Anxiety has a way of convincing us that we are alone, that we are the problem, that if we just had stronger faith and more discipline or more strength, we wouldn't feel the way we do. But what I realized in that car is this. Being overwhelmed doesn't mean I'm faithless. Being anxious doesn't mean I'm broken beyond repair. Crying on the way to work doesn't mean I'm weak. It means I'm human. And the beautiful truth is that God doesn't wait for us to be strong before He comes for us. He doesn't say, pull yourself together, then I'll help. He meets us in the darkest night, in the hardest fight, in the car when we're crying and don't know how we're going to face the day. He says, I will rescue you. That doesn't always mean the situation instantly changes. My family members didn't suddenly leave the hospital. My responsibilities didn't disappear. But something inside me shifted. I remembered that I am not carrying everything alone, and neither are you. Maybe someone here today feels like they're failing. Maybe you feel like you're not showing up enough for your family. Maybe you feel like your prayers are whispers under your breath. Maybe you're fighting something no one else can see. I want you to know that you are not hopeless, even if you feel broken. God hears your quietest SOS. He has not stopped marching towards you. Sometimes rescue looks like strength, sometimes rescue looks like peace, and sometimes rescue looks like a song at just the right moment, reminding you that you are seen. I hope this connects with someone today the way it connected with me, because on Wednesday morning, I felt lost, and God reminded me I wasn't.
Amen. You guys can come up over here if you'd like. Come on over. I know they're not, they're a little scary, but they're good. You're fine. I forgot to tell you guys, after they read their testimonies, they're going to nail them to the cross before they get baptized. What's your name?
My name is Micah.
You want to read your testimony?
Sure. Thank you. I wanted to get baptized today to declare publicly my inward faith in Jesus Christ, to wash away my sin, and to start a new life. This last year has been a difficult one for me. Jesus has been there for me the whole time. With friends from this church, like Marty and Jeff and Chemo, many more, the Bible study and an Alpha, my girlfriend Vanessa, and I want to thank you all for being a part of my journey. My father was a Lutheran minister, and he was pretty strict, and I was baptized as a child, but now after coming to this church, I realized that there's a lot more than just fire and brimstone. There's peace, love, and a community of people that can be there for you in your time of need, and that God is with you at all times, in the good times and the bad, and He's definitely been there for me this year, and it's been great to be here and to renew my faith.
Amen. Over. What's your name?
Dan Sager.
You want to share your testimony?
Yes. I was going to read this, but I just did it real quick, but I guess I'll just freehand it. So I lived a very misguided lifestyle for a long time, and I always had this empty hole in my heart that I just never could fill. Once I got with the right people and they started leading me towards the way, and my lovely family, wife and kids also helped me get there. And I finally feel at peace with this empty hole that I had, and I finally have it filled.
All right, so those who are going to baptize, if you guys want to come down. So this is our time to celebrate with them as they go down into the water and go down old and come into their new life. Feel free to cheer, to be excited, because this is a time in which they are taking that first step to lean into what God's calling them to.
Can we stand together as they get baptized? We're going to make this a celebration of worship. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only a start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth living. I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was cold by.
Respond. So can you tell me what your name is?
Huh?
What's your name?
Connor.
Connor, why do you want to be baptized today?
So I can be closer to Jesus.
Amen. All right, Connor, you're going to go to Miss Dana right there. Keep walking down. You get to nail this to the cross. All right, guys, come on over. All right, you guys ready to share with everybody who you are? All right, you want to face that way so they can see you? All right, what's your first name?
My name is Judah. I am Judah Ariel Day, and I'm so excited to be here. I am 9 years old, and I've never been baptized before, so I'm really excited to be baptized now.
Woo. All right, welcome, Pastor. What's your name?
I'm Yannick Ariel Day, and I haven't been baptized either, and I want to be baptized today as my first baptize ever.
Right, amen. Can you go over to Pastor David also? All right, so let's cheer these guys on as they get ready.
Hallelujah, you So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more.
Thank you, Jesus. Can we celebrate what the Lord has done this morning? Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing one more song this morning, and as we do, I just want to invite you, if you're one of those people in the congregation this morning who's been baptized before, to remember your baptism in this moment. Remember that day if you can. Remember those people who stood beside you and those who were there to support you. Maybe you made that decision all alone and you were the first in your family or the first of your friend group to say yes to Jesus and to say yes to him being the Lord of your life, whatever that looks like for you to remember that moment. We want to collectively come together right now and recall what that means of grace meant to us in that moment and what that means of grace means to us right now in this moment. We're going to sing this song called The Jesus Way. And as we went over the lyrics as a worship team, we felt like it was only fitting to declare the things about Christ that are true of him, that they are also true of us. And as we have died to ourselves this morning and we say yes to his leading in our lives, to his prompting in our lives, Jesus, we just want to thank you by giving you our worship, by giving you our lives, and by saying that, God, what you've done and how you respond to the brokenness of this world, Lord, we want to say yes to that and we want to respond just like you. So if you want to come this morning, come forward. There's the tank still there if you want to dip your hands in the water. We've done that recently. Or if you want to just silently contemplate what that moment was like when you remember your baptism, you can do so at your seat. But we're going to worship the Lord with one more song together and give him the praise he is due. Amen? Amen. Let's sing. Choose the Jesus way.
as you go today, may you go to live into the reality that you are saved by the blood of Christ. May you go to live into the reality that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. May you go to live into the reality that you are citizens of a new kingdom. May you go to live into the reality that you were once dead in your transgressions, dead in your sins, but because of Jesus, you are alive in Christ. Go and be the people of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. We'll see you next week.